800 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Lions of Taronga of Senegal, who won their first Africa Cup of Nations trophy Sunday when they beat the Pharaohs of Egypt 4-2 on penalty kicks after 120 minutes of scoreless football in Yaoundé, Cameroon. Joining us now from Yaoundé is Samson Omale. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Sonny.
Hello, Cameroon.
Those were sounds from the closing ceremony of the 2021 African Cup of Nations hosted by Cameroon. Some of the country's finest artists who added color to a fantastic closing ceremony at the Olympus Stadium on Sunday in Yaoundé, just before the tournament's blockbuster finale, include Salantiel, Definane, Stanley Eno, and James BKS, a music composer and African hip-hop artist who is the son of legendary music icon Manu Dibango, all brought high-energy performance in the last day of the Nations Cup, just before the finals. After 52 matches, 30 days of competition, it all came down to the finals.
There's a little bit of an advantage for the men in green. Senegal gets Africa Cup of Nations final underway. Looking for Mane again now. This might be an opportunity. Is there a penalty? What's Victor Goon say? Mane brought down. A much bigger penalty now. And it is Senegal who missed the opportunity. Position they faced, nothing like that of Egypt. Yes, Salah with a shot, Mendy with a save. Good running, looking for the return pass. Chance in the middle for Giedru, surely now. No. The goal, the referee Victor Gomez, 90 minutes of football up. The Cup of Nations final will continue with extra time.
In Dakar, Senegal, this was how the victory was celebrated the moment Mane scored the decisive penalty. Mane thereafter spoke about the African victory, his penalty miss, and his teammates' encouragement after he missed the earlier penalty in regulation time.
It's not only the most important trophy, but it's the more important day of my life, the best day of my life. And of course, so far the best trophy of my life. And I can't express my feeling today. I'm very happy. The big difference today is my teammate. After missing the penalty, everybody come to me in the dressing room. Sadio, we don't care what happened. We lose together, we win together. We push again, and we're going to make it. And the end of when I was going to shoot the second penalty, they all come to me. We trust you, go do it. I think that makes the difference. I think that was the strength today for Senegal. So it gave me more motivation to shoot and score, and I did it for all of the people.
The Liverpool star is also dedicating the trophy to his coach, Aliou Cissé, and this is why.
I think this trophy is the first ever trophy of the history of Senegal. So the people cry everything about it because they've been waiting so long. But still, this trophy myself, I think I give it to Aliou Cissé. He deserves it. This man, for me, is something else.
Another reaction we have on the victory of the Taranga Lions is coming from former Senegal great Kalou Fadiga, who says the patience of the coach Aliou Cissé has yielded dividends and shows the indomitable spirit of his country.
Absolutely disturbing, because it's the first time that Senegal win the African Cup, and it's good for us because it's won from the 2002, and we are so proud because we are part of it. I think we saw a couple of times on the TV that the boys were celebrating like we used to do in 2002. So so proud to be here tonight, so proud to be Senegalese, so proud to be on the top of Africa. That's the way it is. Senegal has never give up.
Away from the final day of the 2021 African Cup of Nations, CAF President Patrice Motsepe is unfazed about suggestions in some quarters that the Confederation of African Football is being micromanaged by FIFA. He says when the critics go low, CAF will go high, arguing that they are lucky to have FIFA as strategic partners. Motsepe made the statement on the sidelines of the CAF Executive Committee meeting in Douala on the eve of the finals of the African Cup of Nations this past weekend.
The facts are, if there's a World Cup every 2 years, the biggest beneficiary, the biggest advantages by far will accrue to Africa. So it's a no-brainer. Having said that, you cannot have the World Cup every 2 years without extensive review, assessment, reevaluation, restructuring of the fixtures. From an African perspective, the World Cup every 2 years will significantly increase our revenues and our income and our resources in Africa, use that money, better football infrastructure, better football pitches, better academies, promote women's football, build the leagues in Africa.
That's Confederation of African Football President Patrice Motsepe speaking in Cameroon, the host of the 33rd Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. And thanks to Samson Omale for that spicy and musical AFCON package. For more reaction to Senegal winning its first Nations Cup title, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the chief football writer at aclsports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
It was an exciting game of football, which to me lived up to its billing. In fact, it surpassed the expectation of many of us because the Egyptians tend to be cagey in all their knockout games. But this particular time, they met a purposeful Senegalese side who threw everything at them from start to finish. Yes, they couldn't still beat the Egyptians in regulation and extra time, but they still gave us the luxury of watching a pulsating penalty shootout. So it was a very exciting game. I was so proud of African football last night, and it was interesting to see that the best Africa have on parade showed what they're capable of doing to the very highest level. Congratulations to the Lions of Teranga for winning their first ever title. And I'm sure most observers will agree with me that it's a totally deserving one for them.
In your opinion, do you think the final game was between two Liverpool stars?
I think we'll be doing ourselves and millions of African soccer fans a lot of disservice if we narrow the final down to these two gems of players. Yes, they were some of the biggest stars on the pitch. Both players incidentally wearing number 10 shirts for their respective countries. But I think it was more than that. It was a battle between a team who had unexpectedly reached that height, a Mohamed Salah who had never won anything for his country and who wants to add his name to the Golden Books. And for Sadio Mane, he was there trying to win a title for his country for the first time, same as the players and same as the head coach, Aliou Cisse, who lost the decisive penalty 20 years ago in Mali. So it's more than a direct battle between Salah and Sadio Mane, but a battle between a hungry set of lions from Western Africa against an unheralded North African side who have come all the way against all odds. That was a proper fitting for the final for me, and that made it something extra than just Mohamed Salah going head-to-head with his clubmate Sadio Mane.
The indomitable Lions of Cameroon won the third place game in a dramatic way. What's your take on that match?
Cameroon's third place victory over the Stallions of Burkina Faso reminded us once again what football is capable of bringing. It showed us that in football, it is never over until it is over. At the point when they were 3-0 down, everyone thought practically that was done and dusted, and that perhaps the Burkinabes would win the third place match the way they did in 2017. But come on, the Cameroonians brought back the roaring fight of a lion in them, and they got the equalizer in stoppage time before nicking it in full time. It was another spectacular game, end-to-end stuff. It was Vincent Aboubakar came from the bench to add two more goals to his tally to make it 8 goals in the competition. I think the top quality excitement and entertainment that was served for us this weekend, both on Sunday and on Saturday, were enough to be perfect advertisement for African football. That, yes, African football has got the power, they've got the grit, they've got the excitement, and they've got the passion, and they've got the stars.
Fesayo, as a journalist who covered the tournament, what are your thoughts about the 33rd edition of AFCON?
If we look at the tournament holistically, I mean from the footballing aspect to the organizational angle and to the logistic front, I think Cameroon have done just above average to ensure that we get, at least we get a competition out of the way. You know, the tournament competition had suffered some postponement from being staged in Cameroon here and there, but you still try to give them the kudos based on the economical abilities of the country. And they've been able to host 24 African nations in 6 different stadiums. Yes, maybe these are not some of the best facilities that have hosted the AFCON in times past. Some of the pitches were particularly not good enough to host such, to host the magnitude of competition for me. But it has come and gone, and we had a befitting finale over the weekend at the Olympic Stadium, and we should take some positives out of that. I do hope that subsequent hosts will take a cursory look at what Cameroon did and what they did not, so that they could give us a better and even better competition. No perfect competition anywhere, don't get me wrong. But, you know, some of the things we saw in Cameroon still left a little more to be desired. That is done and dusted. Congratulations to the Republic of Cameroon. Congratulations to Africa. Some of Africa's best talents have come to exhibit what they are capable of doing, even in some difficult circumstances. But I think some issues such as transportation, such as security, and even provision of outdoor facilities and facilities right inside the stadium could have been better. Overall, I still serve Cameroon some pass mark. They've done quite above average, and we are all happy for African football.
That's Fesayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us once again for a look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Nigerian talisman Riyad Mahrez, Ilkay Gundogan and John Stones helped Manchester City beat Fulham 4-1 in the FA Cup fourth round match played at the Etihad Stadium. Man City boss Pep Guardiola paid glowing tribute to the Algerian playmaker who scored a brace during the match.
Of course, he's a guy with a mentality to score a goal, but especially his quality. As a player, has a special quality. How he'll track the opponents to make one against two or one against three, and after pass the ball for the free man. Good runners in the close to the box. Always you have a feeling that he had to score a goal. A part of that, we struggled a lot in the last years to take a penalty, to score the penalties, and now he's a guarantee. He's a scoring every penalty he's going to take, and that is important for us as well. And especially under real, real pressure. Because you take a penalty with 4-0, it's easy going. But last season we were in Dortmund 1-0 down, and he scored a penalty. This season 1-1 against Arsenal, scored a goal. He had a personality to take give me the ball, I'm going to score, and he do it.
There's Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola sharing his thoughts on Riyad Mahrez's performance after the Algerian helped his team secure an FA Cup fourth round win over Fulham. Second half goals from Diogo Jota, Takumi Minamino and Harvey Elliott ensured Liverpool booked their place in the last 16 of the FA Cup after cruising to a 3-1 win against Cardiff at Anfield. The Reds will next up face Norwich City in the fifth round of the competition after the Canaries also booked their place with a 1-0 victory against Wolves. And in other fixtures, Manchester United crashed out of the FA Cup after losing 8-7 on penalties against Championship side Middlesbrough in an nail-biting clash played at Old Trafford. Five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo missed a penalty in the first half, but the Red Devils still secured the lead through English striker Jadon Sancho. Matt Crooks later equalized in the 64th minute to force a shootout, with Swedish winger of Cameroonian descent Anthony Elanga missing the decisive spot kick. Manchester United interim manager Ralf Rangnick shared his thoughts on the match.
Terribly disappointed, all of us, the players, the staff, everybody. This was completely unnecessary. We should have killed off the game in the first half. Could easily have been 3-4-0 in the first half. I think we started extremely well, played well in the whole first half. Our movements, the tempo of the game was exactly what we intended to do. But it was only 1-0, and then a goal like this can always happen, although it shouldn't have happened, not from our perspective, because we didn't defend well. We were too open in that counter-attack situation. But in the end, it should never have given the goal. I mean, for me, it's incredible that it stood. It was, for me, a clear handball. I wouldn't have even not needed the VAR, I think. This should have been seen by the referee himself, but at the latest, the VAR should not have given that goal.
There's Manchester United interim manager Ralf Rangnick after his team's disappointing FA Cup fourth round exit. The result now leaves the Champions League as perhaps the sole trophy United can realistically win this season, given the huge gap to leaders Manchester City in the Premier League. Tottenham Hotspur also advanced to the next stage of the FA Cup competition after beating Brighton 3-1, thanks to a double from Harry Kane and Solimac's own goal. Tottenham boss Antonio Conte reacted to his team's dominant FA Cup victory against Brighton in Hove Albion.
Yeah, I'm pleased for the performance, for the winner. We went to the next round in an important competition, an important trophy in England, and I'm pleased for our fans and for the noise that tonight and was into the stadium, very, very, very high. And we have to continue this way.
English striker Harry Kane also shared his thoughts after scoring twice.
Yeah, no, really, really good performance. You know, Brighton are a great side. They've done really well this year. But from the start, we was on the front foot, created chances, pressed well. And obviously got a couple goals early on. Second half, we struggled a little bit. They switched the momentum on us, but then it was nice to score straight after them, and we kind of controlled the game after that.
That's Tottenham striker Harry Kane reacting after helping his team secure a dominant FA Cup victory against Brighton. Cesar Azpilicueta and Marcus Alonso's extra-time goal and Chelsea a 2-1 win over Ligue 1 side Plymouth in the FA Cup fourth round played at Stamford Bridge. The Blues played the match without their manager Thomas Tuchel, who tested positive for COVID-19 just a few hours before kickoff. Moving on to the French League, gone from 7-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi, Danilo Pereira, French footballer of Congolese descent Presnel Kimpembe, and his fellow countryman of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe helped PSG cruise to a 5-1 victory against defending champions Lille to go 13 points clear at the top of the French League. Arkadiusz Milik also netted a hat-trick to help Marseille come from 2 goals down to beat visiting Angers 5-2 in Marseille. The win moved Marseille a point above rival Nice and into second place for the automatic Champions League spot. Monaco also secured an impressive 2-0 win over Lyon. Jean Lucas gave the home side the lead before French footballer of Tunisian descent Wissam Ben Yedder netted the winner. Monaco are set to host Amiens in the French Cup quarterfinals on Tuesday, while Lyon hosts Nice next weekend as they look to move up from 8th. And finally, moving on to Spain, Marco Asensio's stunning strike secured 3 points for Real Madrid as they beat Granada by a 2-0 to extend their lead at the top to 6 points. Second place Sevilla were also forced to a 0-0 draw at Osasuna, while Dani Alves, Jordi Alba, Gavi and Ronald Araujo all registered their names on the score sheet to inspire Barcelona to a 4-2 comeback victory against rival Atletico Madrid. Barcelona were 9th when their manager Xavi took over the reins in November, but are now 4th in the table, 2 points ahead of Atletico Madrid. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. I especially enjoyed Pep Guardiola's comments near the top of Prince's report on his Algerian playmaker Riyad Mahrez. Mahrez, of course, had a very disappointing Nations Cup in Cameroon. The Desert Foxes of Algeria traveled to Cameroon as the defending champion, but they tallied only 1 point in the group stage and were eliminated.
Join me, Heidi Adams, on a Voice of America Town Hall special as we discuss the coronavirus pandemic and where it will take us next. Join us for COVID-19, the virus, variants and vaccines on the next Straight Talk Africa this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Chelsea and Germany defender Antonio Rudiger was recently named a Brand Global Sierra Leone Football Ambassador. The ceremony took place in Sierra Leone's capital, Freetown, where President Julius Maada Bio gave Rudiger a diplomatic passport. The 28-year-old Rudiger was born in Berlin to a German father, Matthias, and a Sierra Leonean mother, Lily. VOA's Peter Clotie contacted Rudiger in London and asked him about his trip to Freetown.
Yeah, the experience was amazing. Amazing reception. I didn't expect that, to be honest, you know, because, I just don't expect that, because for me, myself, I am just a normal person like anybody, you know. And I was very amazed, and also like the people on the ground, like it was fantastic. And then the launching of the foundation, the meeting with the president, like it was overall like wow, like crazy.
Before we go to the launch of your foundation, you met the president. The president was happy about the contributions you've made to Sierra Leone and the people. He said the people watch you all the time, wishing you and pray for you. Now you have become the sports ambassador for Sierra Leone. Talk to me about the experience.
I think this is something very huge because a president who says such meaningful words to a person, this is like, what can you wish for more? Like at the end of the day, like this is a big honor, and to receive this type of role that I received, the sports ambassador, this is also something huge. So it shows that helping is very good.
So let's talk about the launch of your foundation in Sierra Leone. Talk to me about it.
It was our idea for me and my team to do the first launching of the foundation. I think it would have a bigger impact if you do it on the ground in Sierra Leone. Launching the foundation, it's to me personally very important because it's not a one-man show. This is what I want to make very clear. It's not a one-man show. I don't want to come out there as a hero or something like this. No, I want people to join, and because I think with the more we are, the more we can create. This is what I believe in, and obviously on the foundation itself, I have four very important stuff that we are focusing on. That's number one, sports education and in general education. Number two is sports infrastructure. Number three, sports inclusivity. And the fourth one is literacy. This right. is the four key points we are looking at.
Let's take them one after the other. You talked about education in general and then sports education. Why that? Why are you so passionate about that?
I strongly believe that education is big key because for me, the mindset, the head is the strongest weapon a human being have. So that's why it's to me very important. Unfortunately, people in the past, because we had the civil war and everything, so some people over there, we have to say it in real talk, are not well educated, cannot read, cannot write, or cannot speak proper English. So this is a very important thing that because the youth is our future. So that's why it's very, very important to teach them.
Talking about literacy, language, and digital and numeracy, for the especially the disabled and the vulnerable children, why that?
It's not only about that, it's also women. That's also going to gender. It's because I went there to watch a game of amputees playing. You see the love they have, the passion they have, but unfortunately, they have one arm less or one leg less. But still, there's love for the game, so you have to always get them involved, and so you don't put them as outstanders. No, they also can be very, very important, and that's why.
You went there, you looked at some games about the disabled people playing. Sports infrastructure is developing, let's put it that way. How will your foundation help improve upon that?
Oh, it's like not only this, like how this comes to sports infrastructure. Like if they have better pitches, better coaches, and people who actually like care about them for real, we can go ahead. And that's why it's very important to have, first of all, the structure, then to have the people who show them, people who have experience, who teaches them, and because that's what they need. And but there is, like how I said, you have to work together, find together a solution.
That's Chelsea and Germany defender Antonio Rudiger, who was recently named a Brand Global Sierra Leone football ambassador. And he spoke with VOA's Peter Clotti from London. And we'll hear part two of Peter's interview with Antonio Rudiger later this week. And that wraps up the February 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.